First Timothy chapter 3. Let's read verse 16 one more time. And this is without debate, without controversy, without argument, the apostle writing by the power of God the Holy Spirit, great, without controversy, great is the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of the gospel. That's what he's writing about, the mysteries of the gospel. God, he mentioned six things here. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Angels attended his ministry. Preached. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Thank God for the preaching of the gospel. God's ordained it. And then from the preaching of the gospel, blessed by the Spirit of God, believed on in this world. That's a miracle. That's a mystery. How God makes sinners alive in Christ and gives them faith to believe the gospel. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, having accomplished all of our salvation, was received up to glory. And we are received up to glory only in Him. Only in Him. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said there in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. A message without controversy. The gospel is a message without controversy. Or I thought about this title. Great is the mystery of the gospel. Great is the mystery of the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ among those who believe, to everyone who is blessed to hear and believe the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, is a message that is not controversial. The gospel is not to be contended and debated over and argued over, not among believers. It is a message that is loved, received, and believed that brings salvation to our heart. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a believer is not controversial. It is the gospel of God without controversy. While this religious world will not hear, receive the message of God's sovereign saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not have the Lord Jesus Christ to reign over them in absolute power and authority. To them, the gospel of Christ is mere nonsense and foolishness. To them, it's not a mystery. To them, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, Christ crucified is the wisdom and power of God unto salvation to everyone that is blessed to believe the gospel. It is a great mystery. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, the religious, the stumbling block, unto the Greeks, unto those who are intellectual, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that is blessed to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of the old timers refer to verse 16, 1 Timothy 3:16, as a summary of the gospel, or the summary of true religion that the church is built upon. He mentions the pillar and ground of the truth, and the church is built upon the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gospel sums up, and this verse truly sums up the gospel of Christ, who came in the flesh as a real man and personally accomplished all our salvation. He didn't come to help us achieve salvation. He came to accomplish all of our salvation by himself, with his own blood, shedding his blood, earning for us a perfect righteousness by his faithful obedience unto death. That's all of our salvation. All of our salvation. It is of the Lord and of him only. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made accursed for us. Now, look back to the text. We'll begin at verse 14. These things the Apostle Paul, writes to young Timothy, his young son in the faith, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly." We know that all scripture that he is writing, if you'll turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is writing by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. All scripture, this is 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, how God can be just and the justifier, that the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto all good deeds, unto all good work. Paul is writing to this young preacher by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, hoping, he says here, hoping to come to thee shortly. That is, Paul said, if it's the Lord's will, I hope to come and see you if the Lord is willing for me to come and personally meet with him, with Timothy, and to encourage him in the ministry. It is a blessing that God gives young preachers, older preachers, to encourage them. If you look over here back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul, the older preacher, was encouraging the younger preacher, and I appreciated the Lord sending me in my young ministry when I was just very young, some old, faithful gospel preachers to instruct me in the way of grace. Wherefore, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, or by the acknowledging of my hands being laid upon you, acknowledging that you are a gospel preacher. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." It's the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul writes to young Timothy to remind him, "I want to come and see you, hoping to do so that I might encourage you." Now look at verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, as a minister of God, as a believer of God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God." He is the true and living God. We have life in him. He is eternal life. The pillar, the ground of truth. Paul is writing, "If I'm not able to come and see you, I'm writing to tell you and believers how they ought to behave in the house of God." Believers are seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth. How to conduct yourself as a minister of the Lord. How to manage things for the worship service of the Lord. Seeking to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. When we come here together, we take his word, read his word, pray unto the Lord and ask for his grace to help in our time of need. And then we preach the word from the word. And that's the charge that he gives us. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead." Preach the word. Preach the word. "Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So when we come together, what do? We preach the word. As Paul said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now I like what he says here in the last part of verse 15. The house of God, that's the family of God, which is the church of the living God. The church is his body. His body. The word church means those who have been called out. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He put us in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the head, you're the body." And it's built upon one foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone." Those who believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ will never be forced out, forced away. Our Lord says over here, if you want to turn with me, find the book of Matthew. This one foundation. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 13. The Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, the rock of ages that the church is built upon. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, 13, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, or Elijah, or others, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel maybe." And he saith unto him, "But whom, unto them, whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord answered and said to him, "You're a blessed man. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father." The mystery of the gospel has to be revealed. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not Peter, but upon the rock of Christ, "Christ, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church." Now look back to the text. The house of the Lord is the church of the living God, the church which he purchased with his own redeeming blood. Remember, he loved the church and gave himself for it. His body. He gave himself for the church. Notice this. Church of the living God is resting upon this pillar and ground of truth. The foundation of the church, which is his body, rests upon that one and only foundation that he has laid for us. And that foundation is Christ alone. And notice, it's a foundation, it's a pillar and foundation of the truth. The truth. Our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me." Our Lord said, it is the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. Whom the Son set free, he is free indeed. A lie is never the truth. Did you know that? God doesn't use lies to teach men the truth. A lie is never the truth, no matter how many times it's told. No matter how many people believe the lie, it never becomes the truth. It's still a lie. A lie can never be the truth, can it? The truth can never be a lie. It's impossible for God to lie. The truth can never become a lie. The truth never changes. A lie cannot be truth. John writes this, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is truth." It's impossible for God to change. It's impossible for God to lie. What he gives us is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth does not rest upon the church. The church rests upon the truth. Christ, upon Christ who is the truth, who is the true and living God. If you look across the page at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He is the truth. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the way and the truth. Now, verse 16, here we find the summary of true religion, or the blessed gospel of the glory of God, and without controversy. This truth of God, salvation by the grace of God, is without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Six vital, blessed facts, indisputable, undeniable, unchangeable. Jesus Christ is all in salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. The sum and substance and subject matter of the gospel is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in verse 16. Who he is and what he did. And where he is now. And why he died. Verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Look up just the page there to verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. It's a mystery. A mystery. The gospel is often called a mystery that is not understood or believed by the natural man. It comes by the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit. Turn over here to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Romans 16:25, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations, to the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, the God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. It's revealed in the Word of God. He takes the Holy Spirit, takes the Word of God, and reveals the gospel unto us. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, six things are mentioned here. Here's the first thing. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? God, who is God forever, God Almighty, God eternal, who never changes. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt from all eternity in time, was manifested in the flesh as a real man. What a glorious, glorious mystery of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Without apology, without controversy, the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty, come in the flesh. God who inhabits eternity, He's God our Savior, who inhabits eternity, inhabited the body of a real man, totally and completely, fully God, never stopped being God when He was manifested in the flesh. He said, I and my Father, we are one. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, we are one. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting God. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him believers are complete. Turn to John chapter 10. Why did those Jews hate Him so viciously? You know why they hated Him? He said, I'm God. I'm God. He was saying, I'm God manifest in the flesh. Look at John chapter 10. The Jews came round about Him, verse 24, and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If ye be the Christ, the Anointed, tell us plainly. John 10, 24. Now notice what the Lord says here. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father, verse 30, I and my Father are one. One nature, purpose, power. The Jews took up stones again to stone Him. The Lord said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? They didn't mind Him healing the sick, feeding the hungry. The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, you make yourself God. My friend, He is God. He is God Almighty in every sense of what that means in human words. The Lord Jesus Christ is God our Savior. Made of a woman, made under the law to accomplish all our salvation. He came to do the Father's will in accomplishing all things for us. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And my friend, He accomplished all God's redeeming work in the sacrifice of Himself. He came to do the Father's will in accomplishing our salvation. I put it like this in two ways. Satisfied every precept of the law of God for us. Those 800 precepts of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ as a man honored every precept of that law. Earning for us a perfect righteousness before God. His obedience, His faithfulness unto God is our righteousness that He gives us. That's a great mystery, is it not? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. The Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to honor the law of God. He did that for us. Satisfying every precept of that law in His life. Satisfying every penalty of that law in His death. What is the penalty of the law? What does the penalty of the law say? The law says the guilty must die. The Lord, no way around that. The Lord Jesus Christ became guilty for our sin. And the holy justice of God vindicated itself, satisfied itself in the crucifixion and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We see who He is and what He did. He accomplished our salvation for us with the sacrifice of Himself. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down the right hand of God. That is a great mystery. Without controversy. There's no debate argument here, is there? Which believed the Lord Jesus Christ as God, the God-man, mediator, accomplished our salvation for us. The second point, and another great mystery, is this. Justified in the Spirit, or vindicated by God, the Holy Spirit. Vindicated by God, the Holy Spirit, in all that He said and all that He did. He said, the words that I speak unto you are not mine. It's the Father which gave me these words. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, owned Him as God the Son and declared Him to be the Son of God in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We read in Romans 1, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness or by God the Holy Spirit. What is the chief paramount office of God the Holy Spirit? It's not to make you feel good. You missed it. What is the chief paramount office of God the Holy Spirit? To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I show you that in Scripture? Look back to John chapter 16. The chief paramount office of God the Holy Spirit is to take the things of Christ and show them unto you. In John 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't preach the Holy Spirit. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and reveal it unto you. God the Holy Spirit. It takes God to reveal God. God the Holy Spirit reveals unto us that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all of our salvation. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, He shall take of Mine and show it or reveal it unto you. Verse 16, a little while and you shall not see Me. And again, a little while, you shall see Me, because I go to My Father. I go to My Father. Where I am, there shall you be also. The formation of God, the formation of His human body was by the energy and power of God the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. This is a great mystery. You know, this puzzled Mary. Remember, turn over here to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. When the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a son, a special son, the son of the highest. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Savior, Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, conceived of God the Holy Spirit, made in the womb of the Virgin without the aid of a man. The Lord Jesus Christ was a real man without sin, and yet God Almighty manifest in the flesh. The formation of his sinless humanity was by the energy and power of God the Holy Spirit. At his baptism, God the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. The Spirit of God, when he came up out of the water, he said to John, suffer us to fulfill all righteousness for us. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. There we see the three persons of the Godhead manifest in three distinct persons, yet one God. The Son confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, obedient in baptism. The Spirit of God descending and God the Father speaking from heaven. And then the greatest confirmation was confirmed by God the Holy Spirit, who's raised his body from the dead. Raised his body from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Turn over here to Romans chapter 1. Delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God, made of the seed of David, a real man, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God guaranteed everything he said, everything he did, and that he raised him from the dead, having accomplished all of our salvation. Look back to the text again. Without controversy, without debate, without argument, this is a great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by God the Holy Spirit, and then thirdly, seen of angels. This is a great mystery. Another great mystery, seen of angels. The elect angels saw the Redeemer perform the whole work of salvation. They were eyewitnesses to his ministry, attending it with power. Matthew chapter 1, the angel came to Joseph and said, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. In Luke chapter 2, the angel appeared to the shepherds to announce his birth. The heavens were filled with a multitude of angels singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. After his temptation in the garden, after his temptation in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, the angel came and ministered unto him. In Luke 24, during his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angel came and strengthened him when his body was pouring out blood like sweat. In Luke 24, the angel attended his resurrection. Remember they said to the women that day, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. angels declared he's a risen, victorious Savior. And then we studied in Acts chapter 1, the angels attended his ascension to glory. The risen Lord lived 40 days among men, and then he ascended as the God-man mediator to the throne of God, and he sat down. The angel said, "This same Jesus which is taken up into heaven shall so come again in like manner." Even today, when the gospel is preached, it says in 1 Peter 1:12, when the gospel is preached, the angels desire to look into these things. The angels are amazed at the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. The elect angels, even the fallen angels, remember what they said of the Lord Jesus Christ? "Have you come to torment us before time?" Even the fallen angels serve His eternal purpose in all things. This is a great mystery. Another great mystery is this. Preached. Look at it. Preached unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Remember Paul writes to them in Ephesians chapter 2. Dead in sin, without God, without hope, children of wrath, even as others. The gospel was sent to Gentile dogs, you and me. What a great mystery. God saves sinners. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached to the lost and dying world of ungodly sinners is our only hope of God calling out His elect among the world, whether it be Jew or Gentile. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a great mystery, to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to call out those who believe, to call those out by giving them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Let me read this to you. Romans 10. Don't turn. You're familiar with this, but let me read it to you. Romans 10. You cannot believe what you have not heard. Can you? He was preached, and then it says, believed on in the world. How shall they call upon Him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings, that saith, "Behold, thy God reigneth." You cannot believe what you have not heard. You must hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not in word only, but the power of God the Holy Spirit. Preached unto the Gentiles. Look at the next thing. Believed on. People actually believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another great mystery. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God grants and gives faith through the preaching of the Word of God. That's a mystery. He gives us life with that incorruptible seed of God. "You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We only believe the gospel according to the power of God. It's a miracle that any dead sinner would believe the gospel. God raises him up, gives him life. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. If you believe the gospel, God's raised you from the dead and granted and given you faith in your heart to trust Him. As many as were ordained to eternal life, they all believe the gospel. He was preached, and they believed. We've seen that all through the book of Acts, haven't we? Paul went preaching. Peter went preaching. John went preaching. Stephen went preaching. And God called out a multitude of sinners. One time, 3,000 people. 3,000 people. Look what it says next. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world. What a privilege to believe the gospel. What a privilege to hear it. Great mystery, and to believe it. And then received up to glory. Received up to glory. Another great mystery. I remember hearing a sermon 40 years ago. There was a man in glory with nail prints in his hand. What does it mean to me? It means everything. means everything to me. It means the forerunner has entered in for us and is seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus, having accomplished all the work the Father gave him to do, having accomplished salvation, now sits on the right hand of God with power and glory. Why did he sit down? His work was finished. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made the high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 6:20, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter into holy places made with hand, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What an amazing mystery. But I tell you even more so, when he ascended to glory as a representative man and entered in and sat down, the scripture says that we ascended in him and we are seated together in the heavenlies right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 6, 7. Seated in the heavenlies, raised up together with him and seated in the heavenlies. The Lord Jesus Christ is all our hope of salvation. Colossians 1 said, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of salvation. This is a great mystery. Without debate, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look at it again. God was manifest in the flesh. Oh, thank God. Justified, vindicated. God the Holy Spirit said he accomplished all the Father gave him to do. Seated angels. The angels declared, this is the Son of God. He was preached. I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Believed on in this world. Received up to glory. He finished all the salvation by himself, with himself, and we have a good hope through the Lord Jesus Christ.